Good morning to each and every one of you. Most of you I know. Some of you I do not know. Some of you I know your faces. Some of you I do not know. So most of all, you are so welcome to be a part of this morning's worship here at the church in Eindhoven. How beautiful to see so many people. How beautiful it is to see so many people from so many different backgrounds. And as it already has been said this morning, we're still one in Christ. How beautiful. How very beautiful this is. The lesson today will be in English. And if I understand correctly, it will be translated simultaneously, right, Gijs? So I was asked to speak a little bit slower, which is a little bit of a challenge sometimes, but that will be workable. If anything, Gijs, just give me when I go too fast. When we look at this world, there are some things that are so impressive. We look at the Grand Canyon. We look at the Dead Sea, where you can basically float. We look at mountainous areas. For those of you that have gone on cruises towards Norway and Sweden and these areas, we know those majestic mountains. And so we can go on and on about the beauty of this world, and it is really impressive. Then we look at the beautiful buildings that we have in this world. Old church buildings in different places, old houses. Sometimes you go to a place like, at least for those of us in the Netherlands, we go to Vienna, we go to Paris, we go to Portugal, and we see those beautiful old buildings. We look at it and we say, wow, beautiful, nice. And then we look at God. Because all good things are still coming from Him. So we look at the mountains and we praise God. We look at the flowers and we praise God. We look at the plants and we praise God. So we praise God for His creation. But as believers, we also praise God for His Word. His Word. Communication from heaven. The God who is on the one hand so far away, and on the other hand, He wants to come so close to us. He gives us His Word. And also we look at the life transformations wrought by the gospel of Christ. We look at people in the New Testament, and they change from glory into glory. As we spoke about this morning in our Bible study, they move from one level to another level, changing into the image of Christ. It's beautiful. So we are surrounded by a world that is so beautiful and so majestic. And we praise God for all of that. This morning, we would like to talk about some things that we as human beings are confronted with. This morning, we want to talk about intelligence. We want to talk about wealth. And we want to talk about strength. Because, of course, when you think of intelligence, when you think of wealth, when you think of strength, these are also some amazing things. And these are the things that we are dealing with. And this morning, as we have a lot of young people with us, we will be speaking about some of those things and what they mean to us, or what they should mean to us. Let's talk about intelligence. How beautiful is intelligence? We ride the bicycle. It's normal, right? Especially in the Netherlands. I believe in Amsterdam, they say there are 900,000 bikes. Isn't a bike a beautiful thing? But didn't it take some intelligence to build a bike? Didn't it take intelligence to build a car? Look at the equipment that we got right here. We got Zoom. We got PowerPoint. We got translation equipment. How beautiful is intelligence? This world is growing and moving because of intelligence. But brothers and sisters, we also know at the same time, and I say this with a lot of respect, but the 14-year-old girl who sits behind a computer and befriends somebody, and it turns out to be a man 40 or 50 or 60 years of age, then intelligence becomes very ugly. And of course, it is not the intelligence that is doing that, but intelligence is used for that. We look at modern war, and we look at the intelligence, or they call it intelligence, that is used in war, because really, this is not godly intelligence. This is human intelligence. And what has human intelligence done in this world? And yes, we see the beautiful things. Our coffee maker. Aren't you happy with it? Your oven. Your kitchen. So many things that are built on intelligence, how beautiful. But we also recognize the ugliness side of intelligence. And brothers and sisters, young people, for those of you that are younger, who are standing at the beginning of your life, this morning we want to challenge you. Use your wisdom in the way that it was intended to be used. In Acts chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Acts chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. It says, and they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting. For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing else except telling or hearing something new. The men from Athens, they were always looking for something new. They were always using their intelligence. Hey, what do you have to say? Or what do you have to say? And now, of course, with Paul bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, they said, for you bring some strange things to our ears. Brothers and sisters, we hear a lot of things these days. Intelligence of man has brought many different things. The intelligence of man, as we just spoke about, and we don't have to go into much detail, that doesn't serve a purpose, but we know what the intelligence of mankind has done in this world. How much broken hearts, how much broken relationships, how many broken marriages, how many broken hearts. Why? Because people are always looking for something new. They are looking for something better. They are looking for human philosophies. And the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, says these words: "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head and all rule and authority." And if we connect that to verse 3, as we talked about this morning in our Bible study, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Young people, this world is bombarded. You are bombarded with something new. The internet is full. TV, other places, newspapers, billboards. Every day you are surrounded by the intelligence of men. But we all have to make a choice when it comes to our intelligence. Because our intelligence can do something very good, or our intelligence can lead us away from the true source of life, Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, as the verse says, we have found our fullness in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has all knowledge. Jesus has all wisdom. If you want to grow in true wisdom, sit at the feet of Jesus. If you want to become strong in wisdom, sit at the foot of Jesus. That is where true wisdom and true intelligence is found. What happens to a bicycle if the bicycle says, "You know, I just want to be a coffee maker"? What happens? Two things will happen. The bicycle will never become a coffee maker, and the bicycle will lose its true purpose. And everybody loses. And that is what happens with the intelligence of man. Whenever mankind thinks about intelligence beyond Jesus Christ, two things will happen. He will never become what he thinks he becomes, he wants to become, and he will cease to be what he could be, what he truly could be. Again, brothers and sisters, young people, we are made for a higher purpose. And you know what the higher purpose is? To love God. That is intelligence. The book of Psalms says, what does the fool say in his heart? There is no God. That's what the fool says. And look at the results. What does the wise man say who uses his intelligence? There is a God. And God deserves my worship. And God wants my love. So what are we made for? We are made to love God, our Creator, our Maker. And we are called to love one another as we love ourselves. That is intelligence. But do we read that tomorrow morning in the newspaper? Do we hear that tomorrow morning at work? Do we read that tomorrow night in our famous magazine or in a magazine? But look at this world. Psychologists are making over hours. Doctors are making over hours. So many helping kind of institutions, over hours and big problems. You know why? People have based themselves on the intelligence of men. And that is what happened. The value of merits is gone in our society. The value of commitment is gone in our society. The value of friendship is gone in our society. Why? You need to fight for your money. You need to fight for your career. You need to fight for yourself. You need to fight for your own fun and for your own joy and for your own enjoyment. Brothers and sisters, how sad that some people will never reach what they could reach. You've probably heard it before. There is a story in the news about a lady in London, England. The lady was roaming the streets already for years. And wherever she went, she cried out, "I am the daughter of nobility." And everybody said, "Ah, well, that's the crazy woman." One day, she got into a bad accident. Policemen, ambulances, everything came. She was taken to the hospital. And of course, in the hospital, they said, "Who is this?" Nobody knew. Oh, she was the bag woman. She roamed the streets already in London for so long. Nobody knows her name. Well, they found out who she was. She was the daughter of nobility. She was the daughter of a very important ambassador. But this daughter, at one point, had another accident in her life, and because of circumstances, she ended up on the street. But she still was the daughter of nobility. And she was reunited with her parents. She was reunited with her castle. She was reunited with all the beautiful gardens surrounding the castle. She was reunited with her father and mother, her grandpa, her grandfather, her brothers and sisters. She was reunited. She was back where she really belonged. And then everybody understood again, "I am the daughter of nobility." Brothers and sisters, so many people in this world, they live without God. They live with their own intelligence. Some people live with God, but still use own intelligence. Brothers and sisters, young people, we need to learn. There is only one source of true intelligence, and that is Jesus. That is at the feet of Jesus. Well, what about wealth? How important is wealth? Is money important? Oh, yes. At least I would say. Pay your mortgage, pay your rent, pay for your house, pay for your bicycle, pay for your coffee maker. Is money important? I would say yes. Very important. You know what the Bible says? What is wrong? The love of money. When money is not used for its true intent, it becomes very dangerous. It can become deadly. And brothers and sisters, I say it again with a lot of respect, but we see it now. We see it in many places in the world. Money is used to shoot people to death. Money is used to hurt people. Money is used for many wrong purposes in this world. And that's why the Bible says money is not wrong. Money is a beautiful thing. Money is neutral. Money is like a knife or a spoon. With a knife, I can take some butter and put it on my bread. I can even say to my brother, can I do that for you? A knife is a beautiful thing. It's neutral until it gets into the hand of someone that uses the wrong intelligence. And so the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Young people, you're standing at the face of your life where you start to open a bank account, or you might have one already. If you have a job, then you get money into your bank account. But the question is, the most important question is, how are we using our money? In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. It says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor will he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity. The love of money, what has it done in our world? How many hearts has it broken? And yet, on the other hand, how beautiful is it when somebody says, my brother, I cannot pay my rent this month. Can you help me? Or somebody else might say, I need a coffee maker, but I cannot buy it. Can you help me? How beautiful is it that you can buy a car in order to do good things, to buy a bike? How beautiful is it to buy a home and then one day say to your beloved, come, let's build a life together. Here is our house. How beautiful is money? But sadly, many people in this world say, in money, I trust. Psalms 112 is a beautiful psalm that has a very important message. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. If his offspring will be mighty in the land, the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. Look at what the righteous man who fears the Lord is doing with his money. Verse 5 says, it is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. That's the right way of using our money. Money is intended to give us a good life. Money is intended for us to build a nice house. Money is intended to do beautiful things for ourselves. Yes, absolutely. But also for one another. Wealth is important, brothers and sisters, young people. Money is very important. But it should always be number 5 or number 6. God should be number 1. Our fellow man should be number 2. Our family should be number 3. But you might even say they should all be number 1. So where does money come? It always comes after. It always comes to serve ourselves in the righteous way, serve one another in a righteous way, and serve the world in a righteous way. Lastly, what about strength? Is strength important? Oh, yes. Look at this beautiful building. It was made at some point by human hands. It was built by human strength. And look at it. What is the result? We can meet every time. When it rains outside, we don't think, oh, we get wet. When it storms outside, we say, we're okay, etc., etc. Strength is a beautiful thing. However, some have lifted their strength in a pursuit above its proper place. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. God says you can use your strength in a number of ways. The bodily training, it has some purpose, Paul says. But then look at what he says about godliness is of value in every way, as it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Brothers and sisters, young people, we are living in an age in which the human body is raised. Sports becomes very important to a lot of people. Bodybuilding becomes important to a lot of people. Looking beautifully outside is important for a lot of people. But we now also see the pictures, right, of those men and women that were one-time champions. They also got to be 60. They also got to be 70. They also got to be 80. And what do we look at? not even a small portion of what they once were. Young people, you are in a time in your life in which your body is growing. And your body is able to do a lot of things. And you can use your bodily strength for a lot of different purposes. And yes, sports in the right way is still good. Bodily exercise in the right way is still good. But we need to be careful that we don't start using our bodies in a wrong way. Because then we will also have to deal with the results. The Bible says simply, what you sow is what you will reap. And it's still true. We look at people today. They even make changes to their bodies, changes to their faces, changes to many different parts of their bodies. Why do they do it? A lot of times it is even to get more attention. They use their bodies in the wrong way. They use their strength in the wrong way. And so strength is important. Bodily exercise is good, but it should always number two. Let us use our bodily strength to help a neighbor. You might have a neighbor that is really old, 60, 70, 80, 90, and he might like it if you come and help him with repairing something in the house. Or you can help him with mowing the lawn. There might be an elderly lady close to you, of whom you know that her body is weak. Knock on her door and say, "How can I help you? What can I do for you?" That is important, besides healthy bodily exercise, because bodily exercise is still good. We can do it. But always or never at the expense of serving one another with our strength. That is God's design. When God says you love your fellow man as you love yourself, the Bible even says in the book of James, when someone is cold, you can say, "Well, I hope that you will get warm." But it's better to give him a coat. It's better to be active in that part. And so, young people, this world has some beautiful things, but when it comes to you, you have some beautiful gifts. The gift of intelligence. But it can either break a lot in your life and in the lives of others, and it can build in your life and in the lives of others. Wealth is very beautiful, but we know it has done so much good, but also done so much evil. Strength is good, but how do we use it? That's the challenge. That's the challenge we put in front of you. That's the challenge we put in front of one another. Because even though some of us might be a little bit older, it still applies to us as well. So let's try to be impressive for God. Not for one another, but let us try to be impressive for God. Use your intelligence, your wealth, and your strength in godly ways to love God and to serve one another. Because, you know, human achievement, what does it do? Ultimately, it brings you nothing. It is said about John Grisham, the famous writer. He said, "When I was a young writer, I was dreaming about coming to the top." And he literally says this: "When I came at the top, I found there was nothing there. Just absolutely nothing." Young people, that's also a challenge for you. Consult the older ones. Consult older ones with wisdom. And have a little chat. Have a little talk. Let yourself be inspired by those that are older, that have life experience. And they will tell you what is really important. So yes, let us use our intelligence and our wealth and our strength. But let us use it most of all for number one, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because that is what is most important. Young people, your life is not always easy. Peer pressure, this world, so much pressure on many levels, in many colors, in many ways. You are challenged, and it's not easy. So do consult the older ones. Do consult those that are 60, 70, and 80. They have some good things to share with you. Sometimes we say, well, those older people, but they have a lot of life experience. Talk to them. Have a coffee together. Ask some questions. They will tell you a few things. Amen.
Je wil kunnen weer staan.